Welcome to Global Expressions, where we have international students interview
international professor and staff to just know more about their journey to the U.S. Today with you, my name is Fayinjin. I am from Madagascar and I'm an integrative engineering focused on robotics major.
Hi everyone, my name is Fiorella. You can call me Fia. My major is econ and I'm from Paraguay. And in today's episode, we have Professor Chin with us. Yay! This is very, very, very exciting. Professor Chin, could you just tell us a little bit more about you?
Right. So, I sound very good in this podcast. I'm an assistant professor in economics at the economics department. And I'm very honored that both of you decide to have me on this podcast.
Oh. No, we are very, 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 very happy to have you.
Yeah, the honor is for us. So, let's get into it. First question, can you talk a little bit more about your educational journey and how did you come to work to Lafayette College?
Well, I think I can write a book about my educational journey, to be honest. Before coming to Lafayette, I grew up in Cambodia, and I did not most of my schooling, but I went to public school until I was grade 8, and then I got a 5-year scholarship to study at the international school in Singapore for 5 years. And so I did most of my middle school and high school there. So I graduated in 2013. And then I was thinking about applying to school that allowed me to learn to appreciate the holistic understanding of what makes us a good person, and nothing better than go to a liberal arts college.
I agree. Right?
And so I end up going to Colorado College in Colorado Springs. And so it's very similar to Lafayette. It had about, 2,000 students, a little smaller.
Yeah, pretty similar to Lafayette.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so I did my 4 years there. Made a lot of friends, internationals as well as U.S. and people from all over the place. And I studied called a mathematical economics. And then after that, I'm like, well, like most of you, you're going to be eventually a senior year. It's like, what am I going to do next? You know? And then, you know, and so one of my economic professor, she was very, you know, she take note in one of the classes that I took with her, and she was like, you know, you're pretty good at this class, and it was, I think, international political economy, and I wrote a paper, and she was, you know, very impressed. And at the same time, I was kind of have self doubt about myself, whether I should be belong in academia or not. And so, because of her, she encouraged me to apply to grad school, and but the way I want to see and study the world, it's not just about how the market functions, that the supply demand, but economic is more than that, right? It consists of the interaction between supply and demand, firms and consumer, but also the role of institutions, how workers bargain, the social class, and the political economy aspects of the whole dynamics. And so I decided to go to a program called Heterodox Economics, which kind of very similar to what you actually learn in a liberal arts school education, that you learn to appreciate the interdisciplinary of what make you a good citizen, which is you take classes from sociology, anthropology, political science, mm-hmm. not just purely math or economics or STEMs, you know. You appreciate mm-hmm. the way all these classes approach problem from a different angles. And so this program kind of aligned with what I want to do. And then so luckily it's also in Colorado. And so I went to Colorado State University, which one of the only five programs that offer this kind of thinking about economics research. And then there's a saying that once you're in Colorado, you don't want to get out of Colorado.
So, do you think that that's accurate?
Yes. I think I'm very biased because, Colorado is, you love outdoor, you love to ski, a very expensive place. But I remember during my COVID-19 lockdown, I cannot imagine people live in New York City. A big city, you're stuck in a building, an apartment. But Colorado, you can go camping, for a walk, because there's so many outdoor activity that you're not going to spread your infection to other people. So after that, I spent 6 years in grad school. And just like the two of you will be on the job market, you're thinking about, what is it that make me want to go to grad school in the first place? And during my graduate school time, I get to also teach students. And I realize how much of that make me want to continue and apply my research and teaching, especially young generations like myself. I think I'm still young.
We agree.
And then I had two things. When you apply for a job, there's always a priority, what job that you really want, what kind of career path you want to go at. But also the uncertainty, like you want to explore all the options. And so I apply for government job, as well as private sector and academia. And one of the schools that stand out was Lafayette College, because I always wanted to teach at the liberal arts college, where it's not just a way I can apply my research to the classroom. And so that student can appreciate what is academia and how you apply that to real-world applications. And also, I love teaching. I love learning from different students. And I'm lucky in my job in a way that I don't think in other jobs you can talk about people get bored because they do the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
In my job, every semester I get to meet different students every time. So I get to talk to you, right, from Madagascar for the first time, from Fio, from Paraguay, and my development class doing from all over the places, so that's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe that one of the things is liberal arts school and why I chose to come here.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Can I answer your question about my journey?
But anyway, so I have another question. Just I'm curious about how did you develop this love for economics?
Right. It's also personal experience. I grew up in a way, in a place where there's no access to market. In a way, disadvantaged kind of society. I hate to use the word disadvantage for a reason. It's not that if you belong in that society, you cannot get out of that. But it was a place where there's a lot of health problem. Right, human condition that's not met, what is basic need that we learn, that you learn in my development class, right? And then I was one of those individual where I don't think, I brought up in a condition that allowed me to grow in terms of my cognitive ability, like my physical and my health capital. And so exposed to a place where there's no enough, the school system is horrible, right? There's no, the quality of the infrastructure, the healthcare system, and the teachers, and that's not like, it's not their fault, it's just the system. And so all these issues make me question about, kind of want to ask a big question, what can I do? In terms of, I want to seek further, try to find some solution, what is the policy implication? And the only way to do that is by study the problem deeper. And so I was very good at math, and I always thought, what can I do with math, right? And one of the things you can do with math is study economics, because you can apply math and economics and try to answer very awesome questions, such as early childhood exposure to environmental pollution on your cognitive ability later in life and your health outcomes, and as well as looking at why we see inequality still persists among black and white in the U.S. and what some of the factors that help explain that, and that might be due to structural racism or system that being put in place, but also that allowed, that might also hidden the, you know, the access to services and healthcare and all this kind of thing. So part of that, why I think economic is a very cool tool and kind of subject to infer or inform policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that economics for me is also not just about, it's not about making money, but it's about how can I help other people. That's the way that I see it, and that's why I chose to study economics, because again, my background is pretty similar to yours in that situation, that we don't have the best opportunities, as you were saying. It's not the people, it's the system. So that's also one of the reasons why I decided that I want to be an economist in the future. But yeah, so do we have another question, Fanjin?
No, actually, it's done.
No. Okay, so yeah, for the next question, you know, everybody, in every international students experience this, like the culture shock.
Yeah.
And well, we were curious about what was your the biggest culture shock you've been through when you first came to study, and how did you adjust to the U.S.?
Yeah, so what was very helpful for me was because I went from Cambodia to Singapore, and in Singapore, you know, I interact with 101, if I counted correctly, different nationalities.
Wow.
And so people from all over the place. So the school that I went to called United World College, and this is a movement that once the former president was the awesome man himself, Nelson Mandela.
Mm-hmm.
The current president of the movement is the Prince of Jordan's, the Queen of Jordan, sorry. And so the movement is basically kind of bring different personality, culture, religions, and people from different identities and ethnicity to in one place where you can find a common understanding and appreciate what it is that make you unique and different. And so when I first came to Singapore, and you know, it's like a totally different world, and I think I was homesick for the first 2 years. I thought my English was good. I thought I was very good in science and math. And then my first class, I went to a classroom. I remember I was in a science class, and a physics class, and I sat in the back. And I literally started crying because I couldn't understand what the teacher was talking about. So that kind of, I think most students, international students, if English was not the first language, and also it's not just about the way you communicate or listen for the first time, but also I think this effects of missing home, right? You're far away from things that you normally used to. And then people look at you differently, and you feel that too. Mm-hmm. And so that, and you know, after that, it took me a while. And so to get over that, I luckily was very good at soccer. And so I joined soccer team. And so that's one way to kind of connect with people, and then you know, they introduce you to their friend groups, and then you learn to interact with them in a different way. So I was very quiet and social. I think I like to say that I'm very introvert, even now, but probably my students don't think I am.
Yeah, I don't.
And then, you know, so that maybe my journey got a little different if you come right away from, let's say, Paraguay or Madagascar all the way to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so Singapore kind of helped me navigate that journey a little bit more, like kind of helped me in a way to integrate into this culture better. Even then, you know, when I came to the college in the U.S. for the first times, you know, it just, everywhere you go is new. And for me, I think of that as very exciting. Because I want to challenge myself. But also, I have, you know, the school that I went to, like, there's also a big community of international students. So I can, you know, I can get along and try to, like, sometimes we do a cookout, like, the meal, share food. And then we share food with also American students, you know. And then eventually they learn to appreciate what we offer, what we can offer in terms of the uniqueness of our experience. Yeah, and it's hard, right? It's hard to find that community and try to, but then, you know, I like I said, I like the challenge. Get out there, try to explore new things. What is it that make you feel like you, that remind you of home sometimes? Mm-hmm. So do those things and introduce your friend to think that, like, hey, this is what I do, this is kind of unique, this is what makes me feel home, you know, and kind of exchange that experience. I think that helps a lot. So the culture shock is, it depends, you know. It's a very difficult question, but I don't know if I answer your questions.
That really sounded familiar, I think, to both of us. Even if we didn't have the transition like you did in Singapore, that was still pretty similar to our experience. Like, just not knowing anything about what the professor is saying, you want to cry, you don't want to hear English anymore after a week, because you hear English 24/7, whereas, like, back home, you just speak it for 3 hours and then it's done.
Culture shock is a real thing, and I can relate to what you were saying about just going to class and not understanding, because that was me first semester. I would just go to class and sit and then leave. that was it. But yeah, so now you are a professor here, but my question for you is, what would be the other profession that you would have chosen if you didn't choose to be a professor, if that makes any sense? Maybe a football player?
Maybe, but I don't think everybody know this, but I used to perform at the wedding. So I was a...
Wait, what?
I was a drummer, and so I...
Drummer?
Yeah.
That's new.
Are you still a drummer?
I am, and I also have an album.
You haven't? No, yes. wait. What's the name of the album?
I'm not going to tell you, but...
you guys, we have to get this info.
But this is all in Cambodian song. And so I used to be in a band. So I used to perform the wedding for money. So I get paid. And if you go, if you know Mukamani, he probably finds some of my song on YouTube, or don't go check on YouTube. It's horrible.
We will after this.
Maybe that's if I don't think I'm that talented enough to be a very good musician. So that would be something that I think is my hobby now. I still play guitar and piano, and I don't have a drum because it's too loud. and then, yeah, probably professional soccer player. You know, it kind of reminds me of my childhood and where I used to kick the ball on the street, and kind of this innocent feeling that you cannot wait after school, you know.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and it's cheap.
Oh, yeah, that's the best part of it.
Soccer ball, right? But the first real job that I think they asked me what I wanted to do when I grew up. Wanted to be a pilot.
A pilot?
Yeah, a pilot. And like I said, like, you have all the dreams, but sometimes it doesn't mean you're going to achieve them, but and then it depends where you end up, and sometimes all this exposure and you have one person that says something to you that make you think twice about a lot of things. And sometimes you have self-doubt that maybe I'm not belonging in this part of occupation or this group of people. And then someone come along and say, you're not too bad, you know, give it a go. And so, you know, I like it is strange. I don't like math, but for some reason I'm very good at it. But I like solving big problems. And so when I come to economics, I think it takes one professor in my undergraduate to tell me, to kind of increase my self-confidence and that eliminate that self-doubt that, hey, maybe try this. If it doesn't work out, it's okay. And so when I decide to study economics, and it worked out great. So, yeah.
And I think that that's one of the things that just makes you such a great professor that you...
You're not going to get an A in my class.
I know. This class, I love it. But anyway, we're not talking about that. So what I'm saying is that that is one of the qualities that really make you different from other professors, that you are not only caring about, oh, I'm just going to teach you this, that's it, but you actually care about the students and you try to motivate them in a way that they are willing to challenge themselves and grow. So that's something that I really appreciate. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, that's always my kind of my goal, I think. Yeah, because it's hard, right? Sometimes you take class with only know a student for a semester. It's kind of very difficult to know them very personally, and what, you know, some student might be socially just awkward because they're just like, you know, they're very silent, but it doesn't mean they don't have other awesome abilities.
Yeah.
You know, and then sometimes this thing is just a temporary thing. It's like personalities change over time. It depends on sometimes just say a nice things or a word that say, you know, you can do it or give examples of a situation where, look, you come all the way from Madagascar or Paraguay, you come here, you come to a place like Lafayette. It show that you are smart enough to be among the best, you know, and what they consider the best. I don't want to know that, right?
Yeah.
But in itself, it's a testament to your sacrifice. You move away from your family, your friends. You have to make new friends. Maybe that's a culture shock you can think about. Yeah. You have to try new food.
The food was an interesting one.
And learn about that society that you live in, like the terminologies that people use differently, but then all these social issues that you get to learn and try to understand, and also that might not be taught or you experience your own country, and then, you know, I would say I like to call myself as a universal citizen. You know, I don't know if people ask me sometimes, where are you from? You know, I like deep down, I'm Cambodian. But I think because I interact with people, I live with people, I travel a lot, and I teach classes about 80% of the world population where they live, and it's called economic development.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's made me very difficult to kind of identify myself exactly, like what is my kind of my identity sometimes. Maybe that's a kind of culture shock in the long term. So it kind of make me think maybe I can be anyone at any time. Yeah. I like to think like that.
Well, before we end this episode of Global Expression, to you, Professor, first, thanks for joining us. It's like a great, it's been a pleasure to like interview you and know more about your journey. But before you leave us, do you have a small piece of advice for an international student that are still struggling or that are just at the beginning of their journey?
Yeah, especially I think if you are at a place like Lafayette, I think a lot of time we are small colleges for a reason. And what I mean by that is don't be afraid to knock on the door of a professor, right? Be active about, because you might be afraid in terms of cultural misunderstanding. I remember in Cambodia or even Singapore, you know, I cannot call my teacher by the first name. Like, I have to go by Mr. or Mrs. or Miss. Yeah. Even now, I still call my high school teacher that. And so I think what made me, I think I got this advice, the same advice from one of my professors in undergrad as well. And she was said that, you know, if you never come and knock on my door, we never have this interaction and try to understand each other on a personal level in terms of your struggle, yeah, and your experience, where you come from in terms of, you know, your integration into the new learning environments, but also, you know, the first couple of years, you try to find friends, try to find something that you can fit in, that you feel like home, similar to home. So I would say take advantage of open office hour door policy. Like, go to professor, knock, and ask them what they do, what kind of research that you can help them with. That's one thing in terms of your academic kind of journey. But another thing is, you know, be ready for challenges ahead of you. So thinking about try new things that you never tried before. Get out. I hate biking. You know, when I don't like biking, and I gotta tell you, my mode of transportation now is bike. Oh. I don't drive, and I'm a passenger princess. don't tell my partner that, but you know, so get out there, get outdoors, do some things, and also be friends with people who have cars so they can drive you somewhere, take you out.
That's a great advice. As international students, that's a great advice.
I think for international students, the biggest challenge is what you're going to do after you graduate, you know, after Lafayette. And we all have that, like, visa issues, right?
Yeah.
And so what you want to... I think stop.
No, it's fine.
You right. And so what you want to think about is... you know, learn technical skill... take classes that challenge yourself, that allowed you to compete in the job market. And that's one thing in terms of thinking, if you want to, you know, what do I do? Sometimes we come here, we study engineer, and sometimes, what happened?
I don't know.
can you guys can still hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. And yeah, so I think for me, maybe there's anxiety about what to do next after you come here. And sometimes it's okay to question yourself that, because, you know, especially like me from Cambodia, mm-hmm, you know, I don't have family back home. And because I live here for such a long time, and if I were to go back, I don't think I can integrate well then. So I have to, it's almost like another culture shock, you know? And I don't know, try to find, because you live your life. This is your life. This is your life. And there might be, you might feel like there's responsibility for you to have to go back home, and because you get this one in a lifetime opportunity to come and study here and you want to contribute back. But there's so many different ways you can contribute back home by just being here. So I don't know if that's the advice, but the advice would be just try to absorb as much knowledge as possible. And at the same time, be mindful about the incredible opportunity that you have. That thinking more about, like, what can you share that experience with your fellow citizen back home. And a lot of time, I like to go back and share my experience, try to help students to navigate that. Hey, you know, I can make it out. You can also make it out. This is from my own personal experience, from a country that doesn't have a lot of resources. But can I offer them advice on what is the step, what the resources, what the approach that you can do? Because it's not just about how smart you are, or sometimes it's about feel being seen, feel included, you know? And so if you make someone feel like they're being included in something, or that they feel like they you see them. I tell you, it make them feel like 100 times better, that they can do a lot of things, mm-hmm. right? And it erased their self-doubt in terms of whether they're capable or not. I don't know. Hopefully that answers your questions.
Yeah. That was a great piece of advice. And I'm glad we recorded that because I need to listen to that again.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, thank you so much, Professor Chin. Thank you for your time. Thank you for letting us be here and just learn more about you, because I think that learning more from people is just such a great way to connect even more. So that's something that I'm grateful for. And just again, thank you for your time. And yeah, I think that's it. So yeah. That's it.
Thank you for having me. And thank you. Allowed me to bring Ziggy.
Oh yeah! So the dog, you guys, we have a dog here.
Yeah,
say hi.
Yeah, he's cutest. Also,
What?
I'm Sai, by the way. Right? Call me that.
Okay.
Right. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, so, that was it.
Yeah, thank you, and join us next time for another episode of
Global Expression.
Yay! That was fun. Bye. Bye.